This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm sure we can do better, Yam Shaykh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Was the same. Was the same. Allah musta'an. Shayid. I noticed I've been sitting there for about 10 minutes. Only one brother, mashallah, I met who had a smile on his face. And that was the Imam, mashallah. What's your name, Shaykh? Imam? Muhyiddin, mashallah, Imam Muhyiddin. Everybody else, mashallah, big beards, walhamdulillah, but no smiles on the face, ya mashayikh. In fact, if you have a big beard, which is good, mashallah, and you don't smile, at times it's a bit frightening. So rather, beautify the face, inshallah, make it a more accommodating face, inshallah, smile. Nobody's asking you for charity, nobody's asking you for money. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, you know, the best charity, or the least charity rather, the least charity is that you smile to the face of your brother. And most of us only meet on the day of Friday. So you come here tomorrow at Dhuhr time, you're only going to find one Saf. You come here tomorrow for Fajr, the same story. Tonight for Isha, the same story. Most of us are here on the day of Friday. We pray in our place of work, etc. But as one jama'ah all coming together, then we usually do this on the Friday. So the least we can do when we meet one another, inshallah, is that have a smile on the face. Even though you might be going through tough, difficult, super difficult times, you're almost at the brink of divorce, irrelevant. What are you going to do? Smile at least, walhamdulillah. You find in the army, they have this principle that no matter what, you make sure that every morning you do your bed. When the drill sergeant comes in, he checks up whether your bed is done, whether the sheets are clean, whether your duvet is kept properly, etc., etc. And so somebody, he writes an article, you know, life lessons that he's picked up from the army many, many years later. And so he says, one lesson that I learned in the army is that every single day I make up my bed. Jahid, I make up my bed. He says, no matter how difficult the day might have been, whatever travesty, whatever difficulty I might have gone through throughout the day, I know when I come home at the end of the day, I have a nice, clean, neat bed, walhamdulillah. Jahid, and so the same. Whatever difficulty you might be going through, at least smile to the face of your brother and you also get the reward of charity. Walhamdulillah. Hayyakumullah, ya mashaykh. What's the date today, ya mashaykh? What's the date today? 11th of January. Jayid, mashallah. So it's the new year. Walhamdulillah. Jayid, the 11th of January. What's the Islamic date? Today is the 4th. 4th of? Rabi al-Awwal. Jamad al-Ula. What Islamic month are we in, ya mashaykh? Look at the calendar quickly. Look at the notice board. Maybe it's there. Anyone? I'm just double checking, ya mashaykh. Jayid, today is the 5th or the 4th, depending on the sighting, etc., of Jamad al-Ula. Jumad al-Ula, excellent, walhamdulillah. So why when we ask the question, you know, what month is it? What's the date? We said the 11th of January. And there's no issue with that. We are accustomed to in this land where we are living. We operate you know, with the Gregorian calendar. That's what our life revolves around. At the end of the month, etc. You know, you ask your employer, where's my money? He says, no, I'm operating on the Islamic calendar. We're only at the beginning of the month. No, no, brother. Jaid doesn't work like that. My bills, it's a cranny. They're not operating on that calendar. And so there's no issue in us using the Gregorian calendar or anything like that. But just for your information, inshallah, that we call it the Gregorian calendar. So who was Gregory? Gregory was Pope Gregory. Pope Gregory in the year 1582. So only about, 500 years ago, only about 500 plus years ago, or 400 and something years ago, did they put into place this calendar. And they dated it, obviously, according to what they believed was the birth of Isa alayhi salam, the birth of Jesus Christ. And so they said that about 500 years ago, that we are instituting this calendar, and we will call it the Gregorian calendar. And that's why many a times you would find, you know, it says they're 2019 CE. What does CE stand for? Now, with many, it used to stand for the Christian era. The Christian era, you know, that time. And then eventually when those who wanted to move away from the religion of Christianity, they said, no, 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 we're not going to call it Christian era, but rather we will call it the common era. Point in all of this, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, is that even though this was something instituted by a pope, the Christian Catholic pope, etc., even though this was that, there's no issue in us using this calendar. And as we said, the 11th of January. By the way, January, what does most of our months, most of the days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, etc., they are based upon Roman gods. Your Monday, your Thursday, Thor, the god Thor, etc., the god of war and the god of this and the god of that. Sunday, the god, the sun god. And so that's the origin of all of these names. We obviously do not attribute any of that. We don't believe in any of that. But using it, everybody else is using it. We're not using it for any Christian or pagan reason or anything like that. So there's no problem in us using it. But we should still have some sort of izzah, some sort of identity, that at least I know also the Islamic date. The month of Ramadan, mashallah, we know that, walhamdulillah. The month of Ramadan, mashallah, we know that. But what about the Islamic dates? It's good, it's important, it's nice, especially when it comes to identity politics. Where's your confidence in your identity? I know it's the 11th of January, but I also know that it's the 4th or the 5th of Jumad al-Ula. I know that we are almost at the end of this month, etc. And alhamdulillah, in South Africa, you have UKSA, the United Ulama Council of South Africa. Every month they send out reminders that we are close to the end of the Islamic month. And whoever sights the moon, mashallah, whoever sights the moon, let us know. And then they adjust the calendars accordingly. Walhamdulillah. That's good. That's fantastic. The fact that they do that, that shows that we have some sort of izzah and some sort of confidence in our identity. Walhamdulillah. And so we talk about snapshots from Makkah al-Mukarramah. Snapshots from Makkah al-Mukarramah. And we're talking more especially about dates. We talk now about this calendar, the Gregorian calendar. But what's the little bit of history with regards to our Islamic calendar? The Arabs pre-Islam, how would they remember dates? How would they remember dates? By the season? By events. What events? Major events, right? They never really had a proper calendar. The Arabs before the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they never really had a proper calendar to operate by. This was introduced much later in the year 16 or 17 after the hijrah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during Umar ibn al-Khattab's caliphate. He's the one who said, you know what, we have issues, we have problems here. You know, what's the date? We don't know what's going on here. Imagine if we didn't really have a calendar to operate by. How confusing it would be, Jayid. And so Umar radiallahu ta'ala is the one who instituted, put into place this Hijri calendar that we operate with. Walhamdulillah. And unfortunately, most Muslim countries do not operate on the Islamic calendar. All except one up till recently used to operate according to the Islamic calendar, and that was Saudi Arabia. But about a year and a half ago, when it comes to, not all matters, but when it comes to the matter of salary, when it comes to the monthly wage, etc., they flipped over from the Islamic calendar to the Gregorian calendar. Why? It was all a matter about saving money. Why? Because according to the Islamic calendar, it's about, that's why it moves throughout the year, because it's about 10 to 14 days less than the Gregorian calendar. So financially, it made more sense for them to move to the Gregorian calendar, because we will be paying less money. They were going through financial issues, and so they said, you know what, we rather operate on the Gregorian calendar, we will save some money in the treasury, the war in Yemen is costing us too much, etc., etc. Allahu musta'an, mushkila, jayid. Nonetheless, and unfortunately so with salaries, they now operate on the Gregorian calendar. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is the one who instituted the Islamic calendar. But as the Torah mentions there, the pre-Islamic Arabs would remember dates based upon important events. So if we talk about maybe South Africa, if we never really had a calendar, you know, they would remember maybe, you know, the date when Nelson Mandela was released from jail. So, you know, that was a major event in the history of South Africa. So somebody is born, they say he was born in the year Nelson Mandela was released from jail. This brother here got married to his wife 1 year after Nelson Mandela was released from jail. You know, important events, and then they work around that. Walhamdulillah. And so, one of those important events which occurred in Makkah al-Mukarramah was Abraha, the Christian, coming from Yemen with the intention of destroying the Kaaba. Why did he want to do this? Coming all the way from Yemen, coming to Makkah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not even born, there's no Islam as we know it today out and about. The Meccans are there, they have idols in front of the Kaaba, they have idols inside the Kaaba, plus minus 360 idols around the Kaaba, doing crazy things, making tawaf around the Kaaba while naked, etc. Why is this Abraha Christian coming from Yemen to destroy the Kaaba? Why? What was the story?
Revenge.
Revenge for what? Doctor, mashallah, by the way, he is a doctor. He is Dr. Ahmed, mashallah, man. Dr. Ahmed Jadwid, mashallah, he was at the history halaqa. So every Thursday evening here, mashallah, we have between Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha, a history halaqa, walhamdulillah. And so we discussed a little bit about this yesterday. Why did he come to destroy the Kaaba? Our brothers who are there at the back, mashallah, you are so far, subhanallah. Why? Why did he come to destroy the Kaaba? Abraha the Christian. Who was born in this year? MashaAllah, you people like when we use this and we stand there and we just deliver one communication, you know, one side communication, bayan, and we just listen, relax, go into a zone, fast asleep, MashaAllah. Yalla, ya Mashaykh, who was born in this year? Huh? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the year of the elephant. It's called the year of the elephant. When Abraha came from Yemen to destroy the Kaaba, he came with what? Monkeys, donkeys, or what? He came with? Elephants, mashallah. Jazakallah khair, doctor. This book is for you, inshallah. Pass it to the back, Sheikh. Shahid, what's your name, Sheikh?
Zaid,
mashallah. That book is for you, inshallah. Shahid. And so, it's called the year of the elephant because he came with these elephants. Why did he want to destroy the Kaaba? Nobody answered as yet.
Two narrations. One, he said somebody came and defaced his church, and the other one was that a lot of pilgrims were going to
Jay, it's about the reasons that this Abraha, and by the way, Abraha, where did he come from? He came from Abyssinia. Abyssinia, Ethiopia, Habasha, Somalia, that area. He had come there, and because it's very close to Yemen, that's why you find the Eritreans, the Somalis, the Ethiopians, and the Yemenis. You know, there's a lot of cultural commonalities between them. There's a lot of intermixing, a lot of intermarriages which also occurred over history because very, very close to one another, just across the ocean. And so, he had come from Abyssinia, was Christian. The Najashi sent him there. They took over based upon the orders of the Roman Empire. And so now he builds up this massive church, massive cathedral. And so he wants the people to go there and make pilgrimage there and worship God there. Don't go all the way to Mecca, all you Meccans, all you Arabs. No, no, come here. They were not listening to that. They were not doing that. So what did one Arab do? One Arab went inside and he defecated. He did number two there. He did his toilet in that church. And so Abraha, that was the final straw. These people are crazy. I need to do something about this. Got his army of elephants together. And they head off towards Mecca al-Mukarrama to destroy the Kaaba. Why? Put an end to that. People must come here. And you know the story. On his way there, he eventually captures 200 camels of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's grandfather. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name is Muhammad. His father's name is Abdullah. And his grandfather's name is Abdul Muttalib. And so Abraha captured 200 of his camels. But on his way, Abraha didn't know where exactly is Mecca. I mean, he's never been there. Right? Where's Mecca? And so he tried to hire certain guides on his way. Comes to this tribe, you know what, I'm going there to Mecca. Why? I have a present for them. Can somebody guide me? No, we feel that you have negative intentions. You have evil intentions. We're not going to help you. We're not going to send a guide to assist you. Then he moves on. Until eventually he comes to a people and one individual volunteered for the job. Whatever he was going to get paid, you know, he says, I will assist you. He's an Arab. You are an Arab and you are assisting Abraha, a foreign occupier, the colonizer. You are assisting him to go and destroy the house of worship where the Arabs worship. Something wrong with you? I mean, you are stabbing us in the back. And this guy's name here, the story goes that his kunya was Abu Righal. Abu Righal. And subhanAllah, on his way there, just before they reach Mecca, this Abu Righal, the guide, he died. But he already guided Abraha to wherever he needed to go. And so Abraha is there, ready to destroy the Kaaba. Side note, this guy here, Abu Righal, in history you find that the Arabs, whenever they would pass by his grave, Muslim or non-Muslim, they would stone his grave. Why stone his grave? They would insult him, they would belittle him, they would swear him, they would stone his grave. I mean, the man's dead, it's not going to hurt him. But symbolic, it's a sign. You know, of our displeasure against this guy here. They would stone his grave. Why? Because he stabbed them in the back. Because he deceived them. How many of you watch Ertugrul? Nobody. None of you watch that series, Ertugrul series? Only one. Ertugrul. Only doctor. One, two. Allah save the rest of you. Alhamdulillah. You should say Alhamdulillah. Shahid. Those of you who waste a lot of time in nonsense and watching nonsense, then this is something that you should watch because it's good, walhamdulillah. But if you don't waste your time in any of that day, then don't watch it because Allah saved you, walhamdulillah. Shahid. So a lot of good messages there, mashaAllah. You find in that series, Sa'aduddin Kopek, and you find Ural, the Muslim Ummah generally, we've not had as much disasters coming from the side of our open enemies as we've had from within our own ranks. The enemy from within is worse than the enemy from outside. Allahu musta'an. How many a times the Muslims have been stabbed in their backs? If you go onto Google and you search up Abu Righal, you find many Muslim leaders, their pictures coming up. Because up till today, the Arabs, whenever they say that, you know, you are behaving like an Abu Righal, what do they mean? You are a backstabber. You are, you know, beating us from behind. You are not playing the game as a Muslim should play the game. Rather, you are siding with the oppressor. You are siding with the colonizer. You are siding with the occupier, etc., etc. And so that was the story of that Abu Righal. In fact, one of those leaders, there's a famous picture of his. There's a famous Muslim leader who passed away. And the story goes that, you know, he would not really smile much. And so they asked him, you know, Ya Imam, you know, why don't you smile? He says, contemporary leader. They say, how can I smile when Masjid al-Aqsa is under occupation? How can I smile, you know, when Masjid al-Aqsa is under occupation? It's not there for the Muslims. It's under a foreign occupier. How can I smile? He passed away, rahimahullah. He was assassinated. Fast forward, there's one who is alive today from one of the countries. And so there's a famous picture of his. And so he almost never smiles, this guy. And so they ask him, there's a picture, like, you know, as if they asked him, why don't you smile? So supposedly he says, how can I smile when there's still Muslims in Masjid al-Aqsa who are praying? If you got that, you got that. If you didn't, make dua for you, inshallah. Jayid? Anyway, Abu Righal. So basically, up till today, anyone who stabs the Muslims in the back, anyone who belittles the Muslims, anyone who sides with the occupier against the Muslims, like how Malcolm X would call those Africans who would side with the enemy against the blacks, would call them the house nigger. Just like that. Amongst the Arabs, they call this person Abu Righal, and there's many, many Abu Righals in our midst. Whether they be in the Middle East, or whether they even be in our communities, etc., etc. Allahu musta'an. May Allah protect us from the Abu Righals. Fast forward. Abraha eventually lands up there in Mecca. Why are we talking about this Abraha? We're talking about calendars. We're talking about snapshots from Mecca. We talked about the pre-Islamic Arabs, how they remembered dates. And so, this event, Abraha coming, and eventually he captures these 200 camels. Abdul Muttalib goes to him, I want my camels. I thought you were a smart man. You didn't come here to tell me and stop me to destroying the Kaaba. You worried about your camels. I mean, I regarded you as a smart man. That's what you worried about? Something small like that? He says, well, I am the owner of the camels. As for the house of Allah, it has its Lord. It has its Rabb. And He will protect it. And so they left. What did Allah do? Allah sent the birds, which we read in the surah. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Have you not seen what Allah did to the people, the companions of the elephants? Have you not seen what Allah did to them? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. We send these birds, Ababil. They dropped those stones and they destroyed that army of elephants. In fact, the story goes, one of them was called Mahmud. And whenever he pushed it in the direction of the Kaaba, he refused. And pushed him in the other direction, he's moving. That's why during Hudaybiyah, fast forward, many, many years later, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he wanted to make Umrah to Mecca al-Mukarramah, and the Quraysh said, no, come next year, not this year. Sign a treaty now. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's camel, you know, stopped there. And so the Sahaba, what's wrong with it? You know, push it, move, we're going to Mecca. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they said, no, maybe it's stubborn. Maybe it's, you know, being like a, you know, stubborn, etc. That's why it's not moving. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. And stubbornness is not part of its nature. Rather, the one who stopped the elephants is the one who stopped it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped the elephants. He sent the birds and destroyed. Something amazing to remember, brothers and sisters, was in this year, during this time, Amina, the mother of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was pregnant. She was pregnant at this time. Imagine later on, when he's 5-6 years old, you know, she might have been telling him, you know what? You know, the year when I was pregnant with you, this major thing happened here in Mecca. These elephants were coming to destroy, etc., etc. And subhanAllah, in that same year, a few months later, you were born. Imagine the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the same grandfather here, Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib looked after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdul Muttalib is the one who named him Muhammad. Imagine when he was 6 years old, when his mother passed away. Now he's looked after by his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. I'm sure Abdul Muttalib must have told him, you know, little boy, you know, your grandfather, mashallah, you know, when these army of elephants had come, I went there and I stood up to him and I said such and such. Imagine that young boy, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he will eventually become. But he has these stories. You know, these lion stories of his forefathers. My grandfather stood up to an army of elephants, mashallah. Imagine the prestige in Mecca al-Mukarramah. You know what? You know your grandfather? You know, and the uncles, etc. Yourselves. People who might have known your father or your grandfather. And he might have done something, or he was famous, or he had this shop here, or he did that. You know, you still meet up with some uncles. Oh, I remember your grandfather. He did this and he went here and he did that. Imagine the stories the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam must have heard because of his grandfather, even from the mouth of his own grandfather. Also, imagine his own wife, Khadija. When he got married, he was 25. And the famous story is, Khadija was 40 years old. So that means Khadija was 15 years old when the army of elephants were destroyed. So even them together as husband and wife lying in the bed, she might have told him, you know what, when I was about 15 years old, you know, you were still in your mother's belly at that time. When I was about 15 years old, you know, this incident occurred, subhanAllah. Further to that, Abu Jahl and all these people who were around who never believed, they heard this recitation, they heard this revelation, they heard, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Have you not seen what Allah did to the army of the elephants? None of them ever said, hey, you know what? What's Allah talking about? We never saw any elephants. We don't know about any elephants. This is all a lie. This never happened. No such story ever happened. None of them ever said that because it was known amongst them, subhanAllah. Imagine the prestige for the people of Makkah. They might have felt, you know what? We are God's chosen people. Allah sent these birds to protect us, mashaAllah. And maybe for that reason, some of them were arrogant and didn't want to believe in the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, well, you wet behind the ears. You're coming with all of these stories. We were upon our forefathers' ways with all of these idols, and God sent birds and protected Makkah, mashaAllah. What are you talking about, etc.? Point in all of this, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, is what? Is that the Arabs remembered dates based upon famous incidents which occurred. That's why we say that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born in the year of the elephant. Fast forward, another snapshot from Makkah al-Mukarramah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam eventually is given permission to migrate to where? Migrate to Medina al-Munawwara. Excellent. He had already told many Sahaba, you go to Abyssinia, you go to Ethiopia. Side note, Islam was established in Africa even before it was established in Medina al-Munawwara. Muslim minority in Ethiopia was around even before Islam was established in Medina al-Munawwara, and that's something we as Africans, you know, should be proud about. Walhamdulillah. Nonetheless, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrates to Medina al-Munawwara after he was given permission. Our calendar, we call it the what calendar? We call it the Hijri calendar. Hijri from what? Based upon what? Based upon the Hijra. Based upon the Hijra. So many years after the Hijra of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. Our Islamic year begins with what? What month? Muharram. Muharram. Excellent. Excellent. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given permission to migrate from Makkah to Medina. He migrated and he landed up in Medina in which month? Which month do you think? He migrates to Medina and now he's in Medina. What month do you think it is? Who said Muharram? MashaAllah, it's only that brother who knows all the answers, MashaAllah. Shahid? Excellent. Doctor, what's your name again? Zaid. So Zaid, this book that we gave you, this is 40 ahadith on the biography of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You'll find a poster at the back there, lovemuhammad.co.za. This is a competition, South African national competition, on these 40 ahadith which are like 2 or 3 lines long. Beautiful, simple ahadith from Bukhari and Muslim. You read through this here, you visit the website Love Muhammad. Who loves Muhammad here? No, nobody. Right. Excellent, right? So lovemuhammad.co.za, visit the website, put in your details, register there. And on the 1st of February, the questions will come out. Who wants to go for Umrah for free? Okay, you don't have to leave the Umrah. Second prize is a Samsung tablet. Third prize, Samsung tablet. Fourth, fifth, tablets. 7, 8, 9, 10. Mobile Samsung phones. 50,000 rand worth of prizes, ya Mashaikh. Jayid. It's for free. You don't have to pay a single cent. All you have to do is read this here, learn a little bit about your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. 1st of February, the questions will come out. About 40 questions, multiple choice. You answer them, inshallah, and hopefully you can win. Walhamdulillah. Visit the website if anyone wants some of these books here. So the book is on the website. You can download it and read there. We also have videos on the ahadith. We also have audios on the ahadith. Whatever you prefer, mashallah. Or you can take a book from here, inshallah. And 1st of February, you do that, inshallah. Last 2 minutes, ya Mashaykh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated in the month of Rabi al-Awwal. Not Muharram, Rabi al-Awwal. So then why is our Islamic calendar, which is a Hijri calendar, but he migrated, made the Hijrah in Rabi al-Awwal? They say because the preparation for the Hijrah began in Muharram. Muharram, Safar, Rabi al-Awwal. It began 2 months earlier, the preparation. That's one argument. Second argument is that in the year 1617 AH, when Umar ibn al-Khattab sent a letter to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, do such and such in Shaban. Abu Musa is confused. Now, which Shaban? This year's Shaban, last year's Shaban, I should have done it, next year's Shaban. You know, I don't know what to do here. Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, we need to sort this matter out. So he discussed with the Sahaba, Uthman and Ali and others. And it is said that Ali is the one who came up with the idea. Let's use the Hijrah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to start our calendar. So the Hijrah based upon the, or rather the calendar based upon the Hijrah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some said his birth, not his birth, rather some said his death. But we don't work like that. We don't work like, you know, the birth of somebody or the death of somebody. No, no, no. Rather, this Hijrah was the new dawn. Hijrah was the new leaf. Hijrah was the beginning of the Muslims who didn't have any restrictions upon them. It was a blank new slate, mashallah. It was the establishment of that new state there, mashallah. And so that's why we went with that. So why begin with Muharram, O Umar ibn al-Khattab? They said because the Hajis usually return back home in the month of Muharram. They make Hajj, Dhul-Hijjah, and after Dhul-Hijjah is what month? Muharram. Dhul-Hijjah is the last month, and Muharram comes next. So by the time they reach home, it's Muharram, so they're making a fresh new start. Newborn babies, mashallah. And so they said, maybe that's a good reason, inshallah. And so based upon that, they said, we will begin with the month of Muharram, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. In summary, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we spoke about the Gregorian calendar. We spoke about the year of the elephant. We talked about Umar ibn al-Khattab instituting this calendar. And finally, we end off with the point that do not be like we learnt about that Abu Righal. You in your own life, don't be an Abu Righal. Don't be somebody who backstabs, whether it be your family member or whoever, whether it be the Muslim Ummah, even worse if you do that to the Muslim Ummah. Allahu musta'an. Don't be an Abu Righal. Number two, identity politics. Have some sort of confidence, some sort of izzah in this calendar that we have. I understand where it comes from now. Even if you download the app iPray, the iPray app, every day it shows you there the Islamic dates, and at least you are familiar with that, walhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. And also I remind you with regards to that competition, make sure yourself, your cousin, your uncle, your grandfather, your children, all of them participate. As long as somebody lives in South Africa, even if they're from Malawi, Sudan, irrelevant, they can participate. And inshallah, you walk in Medina and in Mecca in the footsteps of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hayyakum Allah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
أشهد أن